Hey, friends. So glad to be here today. I'm here with my wonderful, beautiful co-host, Jessica. And we're going to talk today about God, how God loves you. And, you know, Jess, it's so important for us to know this because not only do we need to know, but we have a longing in our heart to know. And did you ever struggle with wondering if God really loved you?
Oh, absolutely. I just struggle with feeling loved, period.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Growing up, I always felt that my performance and my accomplishments or whether I was obedient or did the right thing determined how much I was loved or accepted. So I was not raised to know God in a deep, profound way. But when I did encounter God in that level, I have been going through a journey really of understanding His love for me.
Right. Me too. And, you know, a lot of us, I think, for me, it was just trying to please Him, kind of like with you.
Sure.
And I thought I had to be a really good person and do all these good things and He would love me more. And my background, as some of you know, I was very performance oriented. So everything was about the school, your achievements, going to college, getting the right job. Everything was really geared towards performance, which made me always feel unloved because I wasn't performing perfectly.
Sure.
But, you know, I think when we don't know His unconditional love, and I experienced this personally, and I know a lot of you have experienced this, but just feeling insecure and having low self-esteem and feeling very envious of other people and feeling there's no significance, I have no purpose and I have no value, and just feeling kind of unloved and unlovable. Who would love me was my biggest struggle. And yet, as you encountered the Lord, and I did as well too, the more that I understood how much He loved me, and it really changed everything. It was really amazing. So Jess, you know, how does God base His love for us?
Well, my goodness. God, for starters, God's name is love.
Right.
God is love. He's the very source and essence of love. And that's what He does. That's who He is. That's what He wants to be towards us and for us. He created us because He loved us. He is in love with us. And so He has and is constantly pursuing us and chasing after us to have a profound, intimate relationship with us. In fact, because He wants to love on us. And so it's not something that we need to do to earn His love. It's more of a yielding. It's more of a letting Him love on us. And His love is not conditional. It's not by works of what we do. It's not something we earn or that we work towards. God doesn't love us more because of our accomplishments whether we've done something right or whether we failed. He doesn't love us any less. He just simply, plainly loves us.
Right, right.
And He wants us to know Him in that intimate heart-to-heart level.
And that's what's so wonderful is because it is a journey. And when I first questioned God's love for me, I was pretty blunt with Him. And I told Him, I don't believe You love me. I think that you're sort of a joke and you need to prove to me You love me. And lo and behold, over a course of time, He really began to do that. Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, He doesn't love us, like you said, because we're good, because we do good things. He simply, like you said, He loves us unconditionally. He is love. And His love is based upon His character.
Correct.
The Bible tells us that it can't change. He's not in a bad mood one day, in a good mood the next day, or He's not going through PMS or hormonal changes.
The thing is that He is true to who He is.
Yes, exactly.
Right? He is life. He is love.
Yes, exactly.
And so He is who He is. He doesn't go against His own character.
Exactly. And that's what's so wonderful is that even when we mess up, even when I make horrible mistakes and bad choices, I can count on the fact that He still loves me. And thank goodness that it's not based upon my being good or not being good or making bad choices or making good choices. His love is consistent. But the problem is with us. And the problem is we don't always understand it or we don't comprehend it. And I think for me, I was afraid to ask God to show me He loved me because I thought He would tell me no or He would, I don't know, strike me with lightning or something, something really silly. But one of the things, you know, it's a free gift, Jess. And like you said, it's who He is. He is the giver of Himself. And so how do we get His unconditional? What's the first step for that?
Well, you know, actually, Mari, I was thinking as you were speaking, and it just reminds me of, for instance, if you are a parent and you have a child, you love your child. If you're a good parent, right?
Right.
Because we do know there are some parents that, well, sometimes are not good with the kids.
Right.
But when you have a good parent, and God is good, if you have a good parent, he loves, your parents love you.
Yes.
And whether you make good choices or bad choices, their love for you really is unconditional.
Right.
They might not be happy with your performance. They might not be happy with some of your mm-hmm. choices. They might not agree with some of the things that you do, but they love you anyway. And the love of a father is just perfect. Now, if you don't have any children, because you'll say, well, I'm not a parent. Well, think of yourself as being the child because you are the child. And how do you want to be loved? By your parent,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be? You want your parent to be there when you make a mistake, when you fall, when you choose wrong. But you also want them to be there when you are you do things great, and you
right.
want to be celebrated. So if you look at it from a parent's perspective, you love your kid no matter what. And when you are the child, you want to be loved in spite of your mistakes.
Yes, amen.
And that is how God's love is towards us.
Amen. It's awesome. Well, you know, I love Joyce Myers. She's so practical. I love her teaching. I love her books. And she says that, Joyce Myers says that beloved of God is a term of endearment and affection. It means to long for, respect, and hold an affectionate regard. This is how God sees us because of Jesus. It means to be loved or thought of being loved at every moment and every time. Think about it right now that you're being loved at every moment. And if I were to ask our friends who are listening, if I said to you, tell me, do you believe that God loves you right now, this very moment? What would you say? And I would say, if you'd asked me a few years ago, I'd probably say, I'm not sure, or I couldn't answer that.
Yes.
But today I could say, honestly, I really do know he loves me, Jessica. And it's just the most wonderful feeling. And I've seen the Lord, because of his unconditional love, heal me of insecurity and fear of failure and abandonment. And knowing he loves me, I feel valuable and worthy. And and what's interesting, I attract now those who love and value me. So how has knowing God's love changed you, Jessica?
Well, knowing that God loves me, I mean knowing mm-hmm. that God loves mm-hmm. me, because I did not always know that God loved me for being his daughter, just for being me. I felt that what I did determined the measure in which he loved me.
Right.
Even growing up, I felt that I had to perform. I was even aware that I was, quote unquote, performing. But in truth, I had to measure up. Whether it was imposed upon me, or whether in my mind somehow I believed mm-hmm. that I needed to perform up to certain measure in order to have earned the love and acceptance of someone, my leaders, my parents, those that I looked up to. But now that I have God's love and I recognize that his love for me is not conditional, and it's not based on what I do, what I've earned, but based on the fact that he chooses to love me out of his own free will
mm-hmm.
because he is love and he can't help but love me, has given me a sense of confidence, has brought peace to my heart. I has removed the shame and the pressure. I'm at peace.
That's awesome.
I have the freedom to be who I am. I'm okay if I make the wrong choices, as long as I learn from them. There's always something to be learned through the decisions that we make. And I don't walk or live by shame or failure.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
You know, feeling like a failure is a horrible
yes,
thing.
Yes, it is.
Not living up to the expectations of others is just a terrible, terrible thing. But with God, I've been liberated to be myself. And whatever that looks like, it's good, because he made us each to be unique individuals, and we need to be true to who we are, just like God is true to who he is. He loves us. And as his children, we have a loving father.
Amen. And that, I totally agree with you. And listeners, I just want to encourage you today, if you don't really believe that God loves you, just ask him. You know, the Holy Spirit, if you're born again, he is this amazing power that dwells within you. Ask him to help you. Read his word out loud. And one of my favorite scriptures, Jessica, is Ephesians 1:1-4. And it basically says that he calls us holy and blameless and accepted in his love. And I've shared this before, but I've mulled over that for years. Didn't really believe it, didn't really feel it, but I said, Lord, your word says this. So I just began to speak out his word over and over and over until eventually I really did experience that love. I felt, oh, I am holy, not because of me, but just because of Jesus. And I am accepted, and I have unconditional love. And so one of my favorite scriptures, could you go ahead and do you have Romans 8, 35 through 39 with you?
Romans 8.
35 through 39.
35 through 39. Okay, right. Let's read this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Wow, I'm already being moved right there because no, nothing can separate us from Christ. It's wonderful. So it says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or angry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? For your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation ever will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
That is awesome. And I love that scripture because it's true. Nothing, Jessica, not things we're going through, not things I think about myself, but we have to receive that. That's the challenge. We have to receive that and be willing to say and be honest, God, I don't believe you love me, and yes, show me you love me, and read the word and just soak in his word. Another scripture that I love is Jeremiah 31:3, and it says that, and I'm so sorry, I lost a scripture. So, Jess.
I have it right here,
great.
Mark.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that scripture because this is one of my favorite scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
It's really short and it's so powerful. And it's what God says to us. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. He says, I have loved you forever.
Yes, wonderful. Love
I have
that.
Loved you forever.
Love
from
that.
The beginning of the foundations of the earth until the end of time. There is no time and space for God. So he says, I have loved you always. Always have I loved you. And he says, now I draw you unto myself with unfailing kindness.
Aww.
The Lord says he's kind towards us.
Yes.
His kindness never fails. He doesn't waver from it. He's not fake. He's not making it up. He truly is kind and gentle towards us. And he draws us. He woos us in with his love. And he leaves it up to us to say yes.
Yes, exactly. And I love that because it's really our choice. You know, we can choose to live in this miserable life where we don't understand him or his love and be absolutely miserable. And he said, I love you, but that's your choice. But when we allow his love to become a reality in our heart, and, you know, there's times where I'm sure you've gone through hard times where I used to think, oh, this is really hard. He must not love me right now. And we condition his love based upon how we feel or our experiences or our circumstances. But now I can say, Lord, I know you love me. And this is not an issue of your love for me. It's simply an issue of a circumstance or a challenge or a trial. But now I don't ever question his love because it's unfailing. And I can
That's
rest
it.
In that. And he wants us to know that. You know, I've often asked the Lord, Lord, show me today that you love me. And there'll be some little thing he'll do in my life, just a little kiss or a little hug that I get that, oh, thanks. You know, it could be something random. But he's always wanting us to know that.
You know, Mari, I think God knows how we feel loved.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we're all uniquely made by God. So we are fashioned uniquely. And so we all have different things and different ways in which we feel loved. I've mentioned this before, I love butterflies and hummingbirds. And it's the craziest thing because I can be walking around and all of a sudden my head just turns and I take notice of a butterfly.
Uh-huh.
And it just completely blows me away. Because I see those little wings just flapping around and I think it's just so precious and beautiful. The same way with hummingbirds, but I just love animals.
Mm-hmm.
In general. People that know me know I love my dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an animal lover. I love my puppies. And I feel that is one of the ways in which God gives me love.
Amen.
Is through, Amen. Through my puppies, through Amen. God's creation. So he knows how we feel loved.
Yes. And I love that. I think it's so incredible. And another scripture that I want to share with our listeners is Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. And this was really one of my scriptures that I just clung to and spoke and read out loud because I wanted to know the depth of this scripture. And it says, "Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow deep in God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully, then you'll be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." And that's Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. What a powerful scripture, Jess, that to think that God will make his home in our hearts, first of all, as we trust him, right? Trust in his love, trust in his word, his protection, his provision. And then our roots will grow deeply. So we're this living tree, as Psalm 1 said, but our roots will go deep into God's love and will become strong. So there's a very strong correlation of knowing God's love and having strength. Because it says here, is our roots go deeply into his love, we will be made strong. And then it says, we'll have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. And then he says to experience his love, the way that God gives you butterflies and hummingbirds, and he gives me parking spaces and other odd things like that. But there's this experiential part of God's love, not just theological, not just, oh, yeah, I know sort of it. He wants us to experience it personally.
Well, you know, Mari, God is intimate.
Yes.
He is an intimate God and a personal God. He's a God of the heart. God is a God of the heart. Mm-hmm. And when it says that Christ will come and make his dwelling in our hearts, oh my goodness, that's exactly what happened to me when I first met the Lord. When I invited him to come into my heart, he came in and made his dwelling mm-hmm. there. And that was the beginning of a life-changing experience. My whole world mm-hmm. Began to change. Everything became new, and it looked new, but then I had to walk out that journey. But being deeply rooted in love was I began to fall in love with God.
Amen.
I began to learn to allow God to love me.
Mm-hmm.
And as he began to love on me and I allowed him to do that, it began to transform my heart.
Yes.
To learn to trust,
yep.
To not be guarded. To allow myself to let others love me,
mm-hmm.
To give myself freedom to love people, and to love people that I normally wouldn't be loving on.
And that's powerful.
It really changed mm-hmm. my mind. Yep. It transformed the way I saw life. It allowed me, gave me permission to love on people. It really has been transforming, has freed me to be a person that is moved by love. And God is love. So we move together with God. We're in a marriage and a partnership with God all the days of our lives. It's really a wonderful experience. It's not religious at all.
Right.
It is personal. It is intimate. It's about love. It's about knowing God and being known for who we are, fully known.
Absolutely. And his love just brings such deep layers of transformation and healing. I mean, you just mentioned a few things, and I experienced a few things as well, too. But just the power, I mean, his love alone is so healing and transforming. You know, I hear so many testimonies of people who met God, and they became changed, they became different, they were delivered, and they were healed. And, you know, just on and on, the stories just go on because it's a reflection of God's love and his power.
Sure.
And God, you said God is love. And so therefore, when we invite him into our heart, he dwells in us.
Yes.
And through the Holy Spirit just begins to change. I don't know how he does it, and I'm so glad he does it because it's just amazing what we get to experience with him every single day. But let's go ahead and close. And listeners, we just love you and want you to really fill up that heart. I know your heart, there's a lot of you today that have hearts that are kind of empty, and maybe you're struggling with things and you're having some challenges right now. But I just want to challenge you today to invite God to show you he loves you. And just keep asking him, God, show me your love. Show me your love. I want to know your love. I want to grow deeply in your love. Ask and he shall receive. And I believe, listeners, you're just going to experience the Lord's love in a whole new way, way beyond theological knowledge, but in a deep, as Jessica said, an intimate knowledge, an experiential knowledge. He might send you the butterflies and the hummingbirds. He might send you puppies to love on. But he loves you. So our prayer today is that you just grow in his love and that don't be settled. Don't settle for less than knowing his unconditional love for you. Jess, would you go ahead and pray with our listeners about today's topic?
Sure. So let us pray together. I just ask that as I pray this prayer that you would pray with me and that you would open your hearts to God today.
Thank you.
So that he would come in,
yes,
and transform you in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask today,
yes,
God,
thank you, Lord,
that you would reveal yourself to us.
Yes.
God, show me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your word says that you are love. So, love, I ask you to come into my heart and make your dwelling there.
Yes, thank you,
That
Lord.
You would change me, that you would empower me, that you would protect me, that you,
yes,
would cover me, that you would reveal and show me who you are.
Thank you,
that
Lord.
I would know you fully and that I would walk with you and have my life with you.
Yes.
God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
That you are God. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and make your dwelling there. God, I ask you to forgive me for all the things I've done wrong.
Yes, thank
and
you.
That you would transform me and change me.
Yes.
And that I will be one with you and know you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you, Jess.
Amen.
And I'm going to pray for our listeners today who just need to know more of God's love. So, Father, I ask that you would forgive all of us how we have maybe put you and your love in a category or in a box, or we think it's too far, or you don't care. But I thank you that you want to us and our listeners to understand and experience your love in a deep, deep way. So I pray, Holy Spirit, now that you would tug on their hearts, that they would ask and you would give, and that they would begin to pursue the knowledge of your love, Lord, that it would take them way beyond just going to church or just trying to be a good person, God, but it will fill the crevices of their heart. And what I see happening, Jess, is that there's this empty well, and as God's love begins to pour into it, the well becomes full, and then it becomes light because God is light and his love is light. And then I see that there's cracks in the wall, and the love is literally going into those cracks and filling the cracks up, and almost like the wall that was once rough and with holes and cracks and broken pieces. But I see that this beautiful well is now filled with the water, but the walls are smooth because God's love has healed that. So we just speak healing right now over every person today who's listening, who has experienced a lack of love or has been rejected. And we just speak right now that you will know God's love through Jesus Christ. You will know the healing power of his love. You will know his acceptance. You will know his grace. You will understand intimately how he just thinks you're so important and so amazing. There's a scripture that reminds us that he said he sings over us with joy and with singing. And he's singing now over each one of you. I hear him singing over his love song over you. I hear him just smiling over you because he loves you. So audience, we love you, bless you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you, Mari.